atheists, agnostics, long-haired weirdos, short-haired weirdos, vandals, hooligans.
The government, hug the government, love. The government, hug the government, love. The government, hug the government, love.
Welcome to The Politics Guys, a place for bipartisan, rational, and civil debate on American politics and policy. I'm political scientist Michael Baranowski. I'm joined today by my conservative counterpart, Cleveland area attorney and defender of freedom, Jay Carson.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Hey, Jay. So as I said during the weekend show, there were a number of things I really wanted to get to. And one of them that I've been following fairly closely for a while is actually a continuation of something you and I talked about the last time we were on a few weeks back. And that's that congressional testimony of the presidents of Penn, MIT, and Harvard, right, where they all gave those awful answers to Elise Stefanik's question about whether calling for genocide would violate their institution's rules on bullying and harassment. And, of course, in the wake of that testimony and all the uproar, well, Penn's president, Liz McGill, she resigned, and then Stefanik said, one down, two to go. And now MIT's president, that's Sally Kornbluth, she seems to be pretty secure, no imminent danger there. But the picture is really different for Harvard's president, Claudine Gay. And she was
you might say also she was of the three the least horrible.
Yeah, I think that's fair to
say. In her responses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so then there were these investigations of Gay's record, and basically it was found that she committed multiple verified acts of plagiarism in her academic work. And now the people who are pushing for her removal essentially are saying, well, the president of Harvard should be held to the same standard as Harvard students when it comes to plagiarism. And Harvard's policy on this is that all paraphrased material must be acknowledged completely, something that it is incontrovertible that Gay failed to do, not just once, but on multiple occasions. And also Harvard's policy is that students who, for whatever reason, submit work either not their own or without clear attribution to its sources will be subject to disciplinary action up to and including requirement to withdraw from the college. And so I want to be clear, there is no question that Gay engaged in acts of plagiarism under that definition, not just once, but on multiple occasions. Now, the larger question is, how big of a deal is this? And should this result in her resignation or termination? What do you think, Jay?
So, you know, to some extent, I'll defer to you because you're the academic here. But it strikes me as the biggest issue that some of these colleges had in the testimony, what that brought out. And I'm going to take a sort of different tact here than the one that people said. I don't think it is as much about anti-Semitism as it has been played up, but rather about hypocrisy. And I think this plays into the same argument that there is one set of rules depending on where you are and the you know, political pecking order, right? And the grievance orders, and a different rule for other people. And I think that's, to me, I think that's what hit so many of Americans. It's not just that there was anti-Semitism or anti-Semitism permitted. It was the idea that, well, of course, you know, we'll, you know, it's, we would not look askance at this as long as it's, you know, supporting the greater narrative, right, of oppressor versus oppressed. So, you know, that's, you know, would anyone else, you know, again, a Harvard student gotten away with this? I suspect no. From what I've read, and I have not compared, you know, what she's written with what others have written, because my God, who'd want to do that? But, you know, as I understand it, it is fairly significant, you know, sort of cut and paste type job stuff, not just I'm paraphrasing what another scholar did and not giving proper attribution. But yeah, I think it raises the question, is it too much to ask for the president of Harvard to at least sort of try to follow these rules? And look, if you're going to make the argument, I think colleges can say, look, the president's job isn't to be, the number one academic in the school, but rather they're just out there as to do PR and fundraising and all that. Okay, fair enough. I mean, thinking back on our college experience, right? Our college president, I couldn't tell you a damn thing he wrote or what he wrote about or if he wrote at all. He was more just the nice guy who went out and schmoozed alumni for money. Look, if you're going to define the job as that's what it is, okay. But if you're going to define the job as you are the premier academic at the premier institution in the world, then you ought to live up to those standards.
I think a lot of that is fairly on point, actually. I think that it's clear.
You sound surprised.
Well, no, no, not at all.
I'm usually fairly on point.
Yeah. It's clear to me that the people who, now, why all this happened after Gay's testimony was that there were some people who tried to, who went after Gay, tried to find reasons to attack, and they found some. But here's where it gets a little murky, because unless you're an academic, you don't know how academic scholarship really works. It's really unclear for most people the difference between plagiarism and research misconduct and what exactly was going on. And because I was one of the people who looked through the specific things that she wrote and how they compared to other things. And one thing I'll point out is that one thing you learn as an academic writing research articles is there's a certain boilerplate as to how you present results. And given that, it's very difficult in certain instances to not use very similar phrasing. And that's fine so long as you make sure that you are attributing things that you are paraphrasing to the people who they came from originally. And there are some instances where that didn't happen with Claudine Gay. Now, overall, I would say it's much more an example of research sloppiness as opposed to somebody trying to pass off work findings, results that were not her own as her own. So it's not research misconduct as far as I have determined. Now, that's not to say it's okay, because you would not, if you are supposed to be a researcher, you're not supposed to be sloppy in your research. But to me, it's kind of a red herring sort of thing. But the bigger issue to me, well, there are really two bigger issues. Number one, how Gay and how Harvard responded to this. Had she come out and said, you know what, looking at all this back in my research career, there were these instances where I was sloppy and I apologize for that. And that didn't happen. That was much more of a, it's not the crime, it's the cover up sort of thing. I get there were certain instances where she asked for corrections to be made and that sort of thing. But to me, the much more, I'll say, interesting issue here, the bigger issue is looking at Claudine Gay's career. And that's what really blew me away, because in looking at this research misconduct or plagiarism thing, I looked at her entire career as an academic. In pulling up her CV, she actually came out of, she originally started at Stanford. And when she received tenure at Stanford, of course, one of the best schools in the country, right? Incredibly high academic standards. She actually, she's a political scientist. And when she was tenured at Stanford, she had what appears to be four peer-reviewed articles and not a single book. I had a better record when I was tenured at Northern Kentucky University.
You could totally kick her ass.
Well, and then when Harvard hired her away with a promotion to full professor just 3 years later, she had something like seven publications and no book. I had well over that when I was given full professor rank at NKU, which is no Harvard. I love NKU, but I mean, in terms of research. So to me, and I don't blame Claudine Gay for this. Hey, she was probably told, go up for tenure. You'll get it. Go up for promotion. To me, a system in which someone can be said to be a distinguished scholar with such a sparse record, that to me suggests a real problem with the system. I have no reason to doubt that Claudine Gay couldn't be an incredible scholar, but she didn't have to be. And I think we should all be concerned about
what do you think accounts for the discrepancy?
That she was a Black woman writing about Black representation. And there were a lot of people who felt that that was important to highlight and important to promote. And I think that they did Claudine Gay, and I think they did just in general a disservice to academia and academic pursuit by promoting her and tenuring her when she, by rights, should not have been promoted or tenured.
Yeah, well, I would. It's hard for me to disagree with any of that.
But again, to your point, that doesn't necessarily mean that she's not a fantastic president of Harvard, because, like you said, what you want in a university president is basically someone to raise money for the institution. That's kind of the key
president. Well, I would say the testimony and how she handled herself there would tend to say she's not so fantastic at it being sort of the public face of the organization. But
well, at least in that
particular, but yeah, she may raise a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah. And so. But you're right. It's the hypocrisy, you know. People saying, "Well, Claudine Gay is a distinguished scholar." I mean, she was made a fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is just insane given her ridiculously sparse academic record. And that's the sort of thing. That's where Jay, it gets me so upset, because I say this is exactly, well, it's the kind of thing. It's an unforced error. You know, because it's exactly the sort of egregious thing that makes people who would be otherwise very inclined to support so much of what the left does to say, well, that's just nuts. That's it, just giving ammunition to the other side. And I hate to see that sort of thing. And so it just drives me absolutely crazy when I see that sort of thing. So anyway, that's my take on that. So do you think she's going to end up resigning under pressure? I mean, because it seems like there's been a slow drip. Do you think Harvard's going to just stick with her? And
I do. They'd be racist, misogynistic if they didn't, wouldn't they? I think they have to, right? If you know, someone at some point says the emperor has no clothes, I think the emperor has to just keep insisting that yes, he does. And you're racist and misogynistic. I really think that's the game plan. That's the play. Because to admit otherwise, is to sort of give away look, a whole lot of this, is a scam. And you know, they know it and you know it and we know it. You know, just make sure people shouldn't say it out loud.
Well,
I
think it's a scam, but it's not on some, well, I wouldn't use the word scam. I mean, again, on some level you can, when Claudine Gay was named Harvard's president, this only happened July, right? She hasn't been president long. I mean, it was the Harvard Crimson and everyone else was saying, you know, this is great. Specifically cited diversity. Or we have a Black woman as president of Harvard. This is a wonderful thing. And she brings something that no one else could bring. And I think there's a lot of.
They also hyped up the whole distinguished scholarship and so forth.
Yeah. And that's the hypocrisy part of it. Right. So that's right. I think, and that's, again, the unforced error. That's the thing that drives me nuts about.
Yeah.
About
Veritas is the motto, as I understand. And it seems to not fit. Right. And look, I think this goes to, you know, speaking as a conservative, sort of in the wilderness, right. This goes to why, and you say, well, it's an unforced error. I say it's a function rather than a bug. that there is this institutional distrust, because you know there is anytime someone says, oh well, obviously they're the expert, they're the distinguished scholar. Well, why? Well, because Harvard says so, and who the hell are you to question any of this? I think that's a big issue when you have other experts, right, who are then suddenly disproven or found to have been lying manufacturing their credentials. I think that's what feeds into it, and I think part of the whole DEI effort is unfortunately part of that, and I think everyone would be so much better served if they got rid of that, using that as the rubric, and went back to focusing on excellence in whatever it is that you intend to be doing. And I would agree. Look, if you want to say the job of the president isn't to be the number one scholar at the school or the highest publisher or whatever, but rather just to be the public face and to raise money, fair enough. But then let's have a little veritas with that, right? And be clear that's the job, and not pretend otherwise.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I disagree with you a bit on the DEI aspect of it. I certainly don't think we have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I think DEI serves a lot of important goals, but I also think that you can't just ignore qualifications and excellence. It should be a plus factor and not a substitution factor sort of thing. And certainly if early in her career, Claudine gave mentors, I believe they gave her a lot of support, but they should have said, listen, we're going to give you all the support we possibly can, but we're going to hold you to certain standards. The standard should not be lower for anyone because of their whatever, characteristic, but certain people, you can make a case, may benefit from more support because of the effects of discrimination and systemic racism and that sort of thing. And that's fine as far as I'm concerned. But you're not
suggesting that Claudine Gay plagiarized because of systemic racism.
No, not at all. No, I'm saying that she was promoted with a very shaky academic record. That wasn't her fault. She wasn't the one making those decisions.
Well, yeah, it was. She's the one who plagiarized.
Well, again, it was more kind of like some sloppy research. And
all right,
you come up, you learn to become a researcher and an academic by getting feedback from your mentors, from your peers. And if people are not giving you honest feedback, are not holding you to a certain standard because for whatever reason, what's that, is it the phrase, the soft racism of low expectations or something like that?
Yeah.
I remember it. So if people are, those people are doing a disservice to whoever they think they're ostensibly trying to help. You don't hold people to a lower standard. You give them more support and hold them to the higher standard if you think that. And so that's what I think the system in some ways failed Claudine Gay.
We hope you enjoyed this preview of our supporters exclusive midweek show. If you'd like to hear the rest of the episode, we hope you'll consider becoming a supporter. Supporters get ad-free access to all of our shows, membership in our Politics Guys Discord group where you can join in on the conversation, and other benefits at different levels of support. To become a supporter, go to patreon.com/politicsguys. You can also support us through Venmo, we're at Politics Guys, or through PayPal. You'll find all of our support links in the show notes as well as at politicsguys.com/support. And if you'd like to get the midweek show, but you're not in a position to become a financial supporter, that's not a problem. Just send me an email at mike@politicsguys.com, and I'll be happy to get that set up for you.